Blog Talk Radio.
It may seem that airlines are charging fees for everything from carry on bags to seat assignments and even fresh air in the cabin.
The average round trip fare globally this year is expected to be $351, not including fees. Let's get this radio show up and running.
Well, it's a day later. It's a day later, and it's not even at the top of the news cycle anymore, the wiretapping. It is at the top of the news cycle, but it's really not where it was yesterday. It's just amazing how this news is moving. We've got so many things going on, one of which is, and good morning to you. It is the seventh day of the third month, and March 7th, and still a little bit chilly out there, and there's supposed to be a cold front coming in. But the fact of the matter is there's so much news that's cycling through Washington right now. The wiretap is still a big deal. And you've got idiots like Jake Tapper, who I really had some hope. I thought he did some good work when he first was put into the position that he was in, but he's claiming that Donald Trump's completely untethered by facts. I mean, I think it's the news media is so used to calling the shots, and they had 8 years of just unfettered access to, well, really, it was a partnership between Obama and the media that produced this monstrous period in American history when there was no economic growth, when the border was left open like the black sliding glass door of your house, and anybody could feel free to come and go, in which our position in the Middle East plummeted, and we turned our back on our allies over there, and chaos resulted. And regimes were overturned as we led from behind, and there was no accounting of Barack Obama. Now suddenly the media is demanding an instantaneous accounting moment by moment with Trump, and it's getting thrown back in their face, and they don't like it. And you know, this is just a really extremely interesting time to be alive right now. I mean, if you suffered through Obama and the 8 years of lost growth, it was an entire generation of lost income, a failure to thrive for many families, just a complete evaporation of trillions of dollars of wealth for Americans. I'm not exaggerating. There were trillions of dollars of wealth that evaporated as people tried to adapt to the new economy. And, you know, it was just a nonstop period of just unfettered leftism and the failure that always comes with that. And so now the media suddenly acts like they're totally and completely upright and full of rectitude and everything. And it just doesn't work that way. The media burned up, and they act like they don't even realize it. You can't lie to people for decades and then suddenly get incensed when people don't believe you anymore. So, in any event, I mean, Obama's reputation is going to go down from here. I don't think he is not going to go down as a great president, but I don't even think he's going to go down as a good president. And it's the more of these type of things that he gets involved in, like spying, which he was involved in one way or the other, 523, 1450, if you differ. And I'm getting some snarky messages from Frankie. Frankie, why don't you get out of bed for once now that you're so depressed, you know, and come to grips with the fact that you backed a total maniac in the White House, and just because the press tried to put a shine on him, that didn't mean that anything he did was good. I think Obama will go down as the worst, but it's going to take some time for people. There's so much emotional attachment, and really it has to do with the love that the left puts into socialism and far leftism, not to be redundant, but it is this strange, and if I thought about it, I could probably put together an explanation to present to you and to see what you thought of it. But the way that the leftism developed over the past 150 years, the way that leftism came in and attacked religion and then tried to take its place. You know, you attack something as being pure garbage, and then you try to sneak in and pretend that you're the same thing. So that's what's happened, and there's no accounting. There's no, you know, when the left makes mistakes, there's never, according to them, there's never a day of reckoning, because you have to go from one leftist theory onto another. But anyway, be that as it may, I've got a little clip here on why Obama may have been spying on Trump. Now, one of the things that Morning Joe put out there was that, you know, and Joe Scarborough has, I believe he has a law degree. He's reading the explanations from the Trump camp or the Obama camp, explaining why, what the reaction to Trump was. And he said that he was taken aback by the legalistic answers, which means, in other words, they're guilty of something. So here's a little bit of Hannity and Mark Levin, who has been on top of this. I'm very impressed with Mark Levin. I think he is the great one. Here we go.
From Levin TV, a studio in Virginia, the host of Levin TV, CRTV Network. I call him the great one. You know what it's like to get you on the show? It's like pulling teeth. You know that? We're glad to have
very
you back,
good.
My friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm laying out the basics here. You put together in a very comprehensive way, and I give you a lot of credit for putting all this together. This isn't the right-wing conspiracy. This isn't conservative Sean Hannity, conservative Mark Levin. This is the New York Times. This is McClatchy. Explain.
And yet it's only conservatives who are concerned about what they're reading in liberal media outlets. Have you noticed that? The media is very confounded right now. They're very confused. I don't know whether they trash themselves, trash their colleagues, or what. Now, you asked a question. You said, what did Obama know? We know he knows this much. Everything you just read, he knew, because it's in the newspapers. That's pretty big. Number two, we know that if a FISA warrant was secured, it's very likely in his daily intelligence briefing or a call from the attorney general or the director of the FBI, the president would be given a heads up. There's nothing illegal about it, but he'd be given a heads up. Here's what else we know. There's all kinds of, based on these reports, investigative activities going on. You know, McClatch reported the agencies involved, the FBI, CIA, National Security Agency, Justice Department, Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. I assume Obama knew something. I mean, unless he's Helen Keller. Now, let me make another point about this. That's a hell of a lot of agency resources. Those are a hell of a lot of investigators. The news report, you mentioned the New York Times, January 20th. I just want to make sure CNN and MSNBC are aware of this.
They watch all the time, Mark. Nobody's watching them. Go ahead.
Wiretap data used in inquiry of Trump aides. I never said independent of news reports about the wiretap. Wiretap data used in inquiry of Trump aides. Well, didn't Mr. Clapper say there were no FISA orders issued? Can you play that tape for me so I can comment on that and pull this together?
I think we have that loaded, and because he said it on Meet the Press this weekend. But we'll get
into
that.
It's very profound.
Yeah. Well, but okay, we'll get to that in a second. Go ahead.
But let me comment. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
It's very important because if Clapper says there was no FISA order, and he was very broad and he was very definite, and he said, no, I don't remember this, and you'll play it later. And what the hell are we talking about? That means they didn't have enough information for probable cause to get a warrant in front of the FISA court. So what's the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency, the Justice Department, the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network investigating? What are these wiretaps that the New York Times is talking about? You know, I know they want to focus on Donald Trump and his tweet. I want to focus on America and the Constitution. The reason I got fed up with this last week is I'm a constitutional conservative. I look at this. If I'm reading these news reports, we have a runaway executive branch. I don't know who knows what. And as of today, the media don't appear to know who knows what, which is exactly why I've been calling for congressional investigations. The question is, why aren't CNN, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and all the rest of them, why aren't they concerned about this?
Mark, let me
rather than mock the president and his tweet, pay attention to what your own reporters and other reporters are saying.
So what you say is really deep and profound here, and I want to put some emphasis on this, and that is that the news media reported the leaks. The news media reported the surveillance. They reported it repeatedly. This is the mainstream media. As far as I know, they've never retracted the story. And everybody knew about it. It was not something that was hidden. Now, in fact, Donald Trump mentions that, in fact, it happened. And somehow this is, oh, my gosh, this is outrageous. What do we
look?
How do we definitively find out that, in fact, in June and again in October, there were attempts to surveil the then candidate of the opposition party by the current administration at the time, the Obama administration?
Well, two things need to happen one way or another. Number one, the FISA applications, which Clapper denies, by the way, he denies, and the follow-up was pathetic over there at NBC, but we'll get to that. The FISA applications should be released. That's number one. The warrant that was supposedly secured in October should be released. The other thing that needs to be done is these daily presidential briefings that the president received, that the intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies coordinate on and prepare. The intelligence committee chairman need to read them. And now we'll get to the bottom of this. Now, I find it very interesting. People are saying, well, let Trump release the damn FISA stuff. Can you imagine if he does that? He'd be accused of interfering with investigations, trying to intimidate the Justice Department. No. Let Congress finally step up and do its job. They have oversight committees. We pay these people to do their jobs. Now get into those damn FISA applications.
Isn't the reason...
Look at the so-called warrant. Hold on now.
Yeah.
Look at the warrant that was released. Look at these daily briefings, and let's see what's in them.
All right, great one. We miss having you on. Stay right there. We're going to keep you while we got you. All right.
All right. So, I mean, something happened. What was it? We'll find out. There'll be an investigation into it, but it's going to tarnish Obama. Will he end up in jail? No. But, I mean, I can't imagine. It would have to be something extraordinary. I think if Obama got in trouble, he'd end up on the worst that he'd end up with is probation, because, I mean, it's banana republics that attack the former leaders and imprison them or kill them. So we're not going to do that. But, I mean, you know, Obama, it can't be a healthy thing if you're in a situation where you can do anything that you want and the media doesn't even cover it. 619 Kelly O'Connell and a little bit of exciting music. And this is from the great movie. If you've never seen it, Midnight Express is one of the most exciting movies ever produced. And it's also based on a true story. Right back at 620 AM, Las Cruces AM, 1450, 523, 1450 and 805-6180. Your little text buddy is here sitting right next to me. Taking a nap. We'll be right back. It's Kelly here, of course, and I got friend Pete, brother Pete from Florida, who's put up a furious defense of Obama on wiretap gate. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Kelly, how you doing today?
Good. We had a nice argument the other evening.
We did. I call it debate, but yeah, we got into it a little bit.
All right, so Pete and I have been going back over the issue here is whether there was a wiretap, and if there was it actually a wiretap or something else? And if there was something on Trump Tower or Trump's people who did it, or if it's all made up story. What do you know, Pete?
Well, I think the whole catalyst for all this is the issue with General Flynn and his conversation with the ambassador to the United States from Russia. And obviously that conversation was divulged somehow, and that ultimately led to his resignation, because he had that conversation, apparently the text of it was different than what he had told Vice President Pence. So I think that that's kind of the catalyst or the underpinnings for all this. That article, I guess a report or part of Mark Levin's radio show, that was picked up by Breitbart. And then if you look at the sequence, it looks like Trump gets a hold of this, Trump gets a hold of this and then flies off the handle in an early morning tweet tirade.
Uh-huh.
But I don't understand why he doesn't ask around. There's been no conversation, it appears, between him and anyone with any knowledge of whether this is true or not. He just goes off the handle.
Well, wait a second. I don't know what was happening at the time that he tweeted this out, but Trump is in a position where he can pick up the phone and get a hold of anybody in the world that he wants to talk to. Are you really sure he didn't know anything? I mean, he just read some article and started tweeting?
Well, I don't know that, but we know that he does not talk to Comey, the FBI director. It doesn't appear like he talks to anyone at Justice. And then the reaction from his own cabinet appears they got caught a little bit flat-footed by this. So it's not something that's being discussed, or it doesn't appear to be something that's being discussed amongst his inner circle. And then you look at his timeline, too. He leaves D.C., I think Friday night, goes down to Mar-a-Lago, and then early Saturday morning is when all his tweets come out.
We're kind of obscuring the real issue here, which is whether there was a wiretap. Now, it's on the record there were two FISA court requests for a warrant. So how do you explain that?
Well, that's going on the record that's been put forth by Mark Levin, who's citing a Guardian report and a New York Times report. But those are all from anonymous sources.
Well, no. This started off at Heat Street, and the lady who was she was a former member of Parliament, who's the head of Heat Street, is the one who came up with this. And she's conservative, but she has been an open critic of the president since he started running. He is the one that she's the one who started the whole thing off, not Mark Levin.
Okay. I know, yeah, Mark Levin cited a couple different sources, and then you, from what Trump says, he says a good lawyer can make an easy case out of this, and Levin goes on the air saying the piece of evidence 1 through 7. But the question is, has it been definitively answered whether someone from Department of Justice goes to this FISA court to actually ask for, I think one's in June, one's in October, for the warrant?
Uh-huh.
Because that still has not been definitively answered.
Well,
the source of that is anonymous.
Hold on a second. I just want to let you know, folks, Pete is currently working as a private attorney in civil litigation, but he was in the Marines and was a JAG, Judge Advocate General is the name for attorneys in the military, and so has a little bit of knowledge of how some of this stuff is going on. But as a Marine, but Pete, I mean, I gotta challenge you on this, because we've been back and forth on this, and I sometimes cite you and quote you on the show, of course, without you being on, as being probably the most passionate Obama defender I've ever met. I mean, where there's smoke, is there fire?
Well, that that's what I want to have answered. And it's this automatic assumption by one group that these FISA requests for warrants actually took place. When you hear Clapper talk on Meet the Press, I know his credibility is in question.
Well,
he says, it just didn't happen.
Yeah,
happen at all.
Let me ask you something. When they were threatening to bring Tapper up on perjury charges, what was the issue there? This is going back a while.
Well, he had said there was no surveillance, or the surveillance did not exist, and then I think we had a WikiLeaks download or a data dump, and it showed exactly what he said to be completely not true, and that he knew it wasn't true, and then they kind of got him out of it by saying it's an issue of national defense, and nothing really came of it. But
this is 2013.
It was clearly a lie that he said. I mean, there's no other way around it.
2000.
All right.
If you're the head of the spy agencies, are you allowed by definition to lie?
I wouldn't think so. When you're being under oath, you're under oath in front of Congress. I mean, I think your answer would be, I can't answer that in this open session, maybe a session behind closed doors, or a session that's there's some type of, gag order on it. But he clearly was under oath and he lied to Congress. There's really no way around it. But I guess one party now is saying, well, you can't trust anything that he says. They've killed the messenger, so to speak.
Pete, you know, that's what it is in the law. If you lie under oath, then you're open for you're open to be impeached on that. The lie gives you, or the law gives you, one shot, you know?
Right. And so his credibility should be called into question. But here's the problem. And then here's what is frustrating about this whole thing. It should be very, very easy to determine if there was an application to the FISA court for a warrant to tap Trump Tower. I mean, it's a court, so it's not something that's cloak and dagger behind the scenes. I mean, there are documents that have to be presented. There's evidence that has to be presented. And there's a way that's kept. Just like when you apply to the court for anything, you file a motion.
Yeah, but I mean,
paper trail.
But the FISA court's a little bit different. It's a little more secret, right?
Sure. It is secret, but there's an easy way, especially if you're the president of the United States, say, listen, I want to take a look at that. Even if it's something behind closed doors, there's still a process he can go through to see if these applications were actually made.
All right, so
that's the frustrating part.
So hold on a second. I've got a article headline here. Morning Joe, this is what I texted you, because Pete, this started off this morning as a little text interaction. I said, you want to come on the air? And Morning Joe questions highly legalistic wiretap details. And I was mentioning Joe Scarborough, I believe, has a law degree. And if you're an attorney, you approach language a little bit differently. You communicate a little bit differently, especially in a setting where the stakes are higher. It makes me wonder, why not offer a blanket denial if you're the president? I never got involved in any investigation. I never stopped any investigation. I never impeded any investigation. It's not the same as saying we never authorized a wiretap. Those are two different universes.
Right. And so then you've got to wonder, if these questions are being raised, and they were, about WikiLeaks, Donald Trump, the Russians.
Yeah.
Julian Assange. So there's Obama's been briefed. Obviously, he's been briefed about this and how deep go. So for him to say, I have no knowledge of this, no involvement whatsoever, wouldn't be a truthful statement. But then it's a different leap to say that he's actually ordering wiretaps.
Yeah, you and I have gone back and forth on this before. If something happened under George W. Bush's reign, he gets blamed for it. When you and I have argued in the past, you've had a tendency to say that Obama is not necessarily responsible for the things that his employees do. I completely disagree with that. He's the captain of the ship. He's up, he's steering the wheel.
Sure. And if it is true, and when I first read those tweets by President Trump, I thought, wow, this is a huge scandal. If this, in fact, there's some merit to their truth to it. But the more and more I look into this, it's just on its very face, the building blocks of this whole scandal just aren't there.
Well, I mean, I would totally disagree with you. This story has not been shot down yet, but I would say this is my take on this, Pete. I believe that someone in the White House became convinced, or someone in the high-ranking Democratic Party, a politician, came to the conclusion that Trump was involved with the Russians. And they were infuriated, the WikiLeaks and all this, and they said, we're going to cut to the chase right here. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And put in the first FISA court thing, it was rejected. The second one was accepted. This is just a broad theory that I have, and that they didn't come up with anything, but that they were convinced, and maybe it was a sincere request, but I mean, it's getting to the level of, I mean, it's almost surreal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if this is going on under your theory, I would say that yes, this is very extremely problematic because what if they were convinced
this is in defense of the White House of Obama. What if they became convinced that he was involved with the Russians before the election, that he was involved with the Russians to get out dangerous secrets that could harm America? Wouldn't they feel almost wouldn't they feel obligated to go after it?
Well, here's my question to that. During an election, I don't know why they want to use that information to win the election. To say, listen, we have hard evidence here.
I have an answer. I have an answer because when they went on this fishing expedition, it didn't come up with anything. So then you're stuck with these wiretaps or this investigation. You're hoping nobody finds out about it. It's over. Your side lost. You're going to go off and golf. But Obama has not gone off to golf. Somehow, Jarrett and his wife or whoever else has persuaded him to get involved in the OFA and organize these protests and everything. So he's still in the mix. He's living across the street from the White House running a resistance operation. But. All right, so let's just say they had a sincere conviction that Trump was guilty of really some very serious, maybe espionage-level things. When they put in the application, would that get them off the hook?
Well, if that is the case, I just don't think that's the case, because if there's any smoke, like you said, they look for the fire. They start pumping this out there to the news outlets, and they make a bigger deal about it than what they did. If there is this kind of thought, and they're doing all this stuff just to kind of feed or try to gin something up that's not there, I think it's extremely, extremely problematic for them. Because now, any assumption or any thought that you may have, you're allowed to go wiretap someone without any hard evidence.
Well, I mean, look,
that's extremely scary.
Pete, the FISA court is a rubber stamp. It is. I found some reporting on this that said it's virtually unheard of that a request that goes to FISA is not granted. Now, here, listen, I've got another article here from National Review, January 11th, 2017. So approximately 2 months ago, Andrew McCarthy, FISA and the Trump team, the idea that FISA could be used against political enemies seems far-fetched. Now it may not be. The question that is raised here is, Obama administration asked for a FISA on him. So, I mean, it's out there, Pete, whether, you know, you can say there's really no evidence, but the evidence is out there, whether you want to accept it.
Well, let's read the article. Did Obama go to the FISA court regarding Trump? That seems to be the question of that article. Is there a conclusion to that article? That's not an anonymous source that has a document that shows
the
Obama administration going to FISA.
We're going to have to wait for that stuff to come out. I mean, this is preliminary, but the idea that nothing happened, I don't believe that. I mean, there's too much evidence now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also too, what I started this off with was, we do know that our government has intercepted communications with the Russians their ambassador going out. And that's really how this FISA court's supposed to work. It's supposed to be for foreign entities, foreign individuals who are in our country. That's who the FISA court's supposed to monitor. It's not designed to monitor citizens, American citizens. So I do, but there is going to be information that comes out that the United States was listening into the Russians' conversation. And that shouldn't shock anybody because that's what we do and that's what they do. And I think that's where that's how Flynn got involved. And for whatever reason, this guy has a very prominent position in the cabinet, doesn't understand that when he talks to the Russians, people may be listening in. That's what did him in.
No, I disagree with you. What did him in was lying. He, from what I understand, called up the Russians and said, we're prepared now. Now that we've won, we're prepared to talk about the sanctions that were put on you with Obama. That, from what I understand, is the extent of it. It's that he lied to Pence about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that conversation, the fact that he was caught red-handed because they had the conversation, the text from the conversation he had versus what he told Pence. If they didn't have that text, well,
he lied. That's, he got caught like,
okay,
Pete,
you're right. Right. You got caught lying.
Pete, I gotta go to break. Did you want to hang on or do you want to talk some other time?
All right. We got to talk some other time. I got to run.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Pete. All right. So folks, we'll take a real quick break and be right back. Got local news. So anyway, Pete, St. Pete, world's biggest Obama fan. All right, so Mark, you remember me trashing Brian Stelter, this guy that acts like he's a high school reporter. Now, Mark Levin, who we've been playing in the last couple of days. Not just a talk show host, but an attorney, and was the chief of staff for the Attorney General of the United States under Reagan. He ripped CNN and slammed them for comments about the wiretap. In an open letter to CNN's Brian Stelter, he said, "I simply put together the stories that your profession reported on the public record. Do you deny that there were two FISA applications? Do you deny the first was turned down? Do you deny the second was approved? It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. It is about surveillance. The fact that we cannot discern all the details because of the secrecy, except for what the media have revealed and selective leaks by the government, should cause you to want to know more, not trash those who pointed out." And Brian Stelter responds in a Twitter. Levin emailed me, do you deny there were two FISA applications? I replied, I don't know. You don't know. The reporting is very murky. And then Levin answers, your lack of curiosity and dishonesty about such matters and in dealing with me demean you and your profession. Reporters trying to determine the reason President Trump on Saturday sent out a storm of tweets accusing Obama of bugging Trump Tower have looked to comments Levin made, which he said are legitimate questions raised by the media. Levin said that there are some logical implications that can be made from reporting on the issue, which includes pre-election reports in papers like the New York Times. And he goes on further. Quote, and yes, we can make several logical implications based on events and experience. A FISA application is a big deal. One or two in this case that involve campaign surrogates or a server or computer related to a candidate or campaign, et cetera, is a big deal. President Obama's statement is not a definitive statement of anything other than he personally did not order a wiretap, which I never claimed. But that does not mean he was unaware of surveillance activity by several of his departments, even through routine reports to the president, such as the daily intel briefing or information conveyed to him or his staff via the Justice Department, re the FBI counterintelligence activities. As for Clapper, despite his past lying before Congress, he may not have been aware of what was taking place since the FBI counterintel operation reportedly sought the warrant. The daily intel briefing might provide useful information in terms of that regard. So, all right, so you've got it out there. And what James, I mean, James Comey is a weird guy. I think everybody agrees with that. James Comey is strange. So whatever he gets up and says, what he doesn't realize, he gets up and says, we have to shut this conversation about wiretapping down because it never happened from the FBI. I mean, people look at that, they hear him talking, and they just kind of shrug. I mean, that's the reaction that you have to him. You don't really know what to make out of his stuff. And I mean, frankly, Trump should have replaced him. I mean, the guy is it's bizarre. Morning Joe questions highly legalistic wiretap denials. Former Obama officials fuel speculation by declining to rule out Trump campaign surveillance. So, you know, I mean, if you haven't done something, you just say you don't do it. You don't have to put it in legalistic type statements. All right, now I've got a little something here from Dick Morris on the wiretap.
You know, with all of the leaks and counterleaks and accusations and denials, it's easy to lose sight of the fundamental fact that has emerged in the last week, and Obama deliberately and his people obfuscated to cover up this fact. The fact is this: a month after Trump got the nomination, the Obama administration sought permission to wiretap him. Not his staff, not his aides, him. He became the Republican nominee when Cruz withdrew on May 3rd. And in June, Obama's administration, with the approval of the Justice Department, with the approval of his appointee, Loretta Lynch, went to the FISA court and asked for permission to put wiretaps on the Republican presidential candidate. Thank God it was denied, if it was. This would have been just the most unbelievable violation of civil liberties and of political due process. You can imagine, when you're wiretapping Trump, you don't just get national security stuff or any calls he might or might not have had with the Russians. You get his campaign plans, you get his schedule, you get his advertising, you learn what he's going to say tomorrow and next week and next month. I mean, it just absolutely would confer an incredible advantage on the Hillary campaign, and Obama sought to get it. He had no sensitivity to the civil liberties implications of that request. This is the most outrageous, damning thing that I have ever heard out of the Obama White House. And that's saying something.
Well, you know, and don't forget this Loretta Lynch that appears to just be another leftist puppet. Obviously, she gets up and makes this statement that we need to fight to the point of bleeding and death for whatever you should call it, your rights or whatever. But I mean, this is nuts. And nobody in the left, nobody in the media comes up and says this is totally reckless behavior. We'll take a break here and be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. That's why I believe all this stuff, because of the craziness of these. So Chuck Schumer stated that Trump is in trouble if it's untrue because he lied. He's even more in trouble if it is true, the FISA wiretap, because it proves that Trump is involved in evil. Here's a little bit more from Mark Levin. Starting off with Clapper.
Obviously, I'm not I can't speak officially anymore, but I will say that for the part of the national security apparatus that I oversaw as DNI, there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time, or as a candidate, or against his campaign. I can't speak for other Title III mm-hmm. authorized entities in the government or a state or local entity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the FBI, for instance, had a FISA court order of some sort for a surveillance, would that be information you would know or not know?
Yes.
You would be told this.
I would know that.
If there was a FISA court order
yes.
on something like this.
Something like this, absolutely.
And at this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists?
I can deny it.
Well, wait a minute. He's contradicting himself. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper yesterday on Meet the Press. We continue with the great one, Mark Levin, from his TV studio in Virginia. You know, so Obama gives a statement that says they didn't order it. Doesn't mean he doesn't know it. Clapper puts out all these caveats here. Well, the part I oversaw, I can't speak officially.
Well, let me
go ahead.
Let me take it differently. I accept everything that James Clapper said, and it contradicts every piece of significant reporting over the last 6 months. If he's saying there was no FISA application, there was no FISA warrant, then why have so many news entities said that there are? That's number one. And number two, why didn't Chuck Todd have Mr. Clapper on weeks ago before I did my radio show, before Donald Trump tweeted? Why didn't he have him on weeks ago to disclaim that this FISA court stuff was hanging out there? Let me explain something where we are here, Sean. They're all pivoting, including the media. They were trying to present the case of overwhelming connections, overwhelming concern, overwhelming potential evidence of Trump and the campaign involved with the Russians. Now it's, wait a minute, no. Because I say, these are police state tactics. Look at all this. You have no basis for all these investigations. Now they're saying, wait a minute, we didn't have a FISA warrant. We didn't do these wiretaps, eavesdropping, electronic surveillance. Now the media are completely confounded. Chuck Todd said, I got them now. I got the Trump guys now. And I'm by the way, I endorsed Cruz, just so the libs know, during the Republican primaries. And I want our president to succeed. This is about the Constitution.
Well, you also voted for Trump, you told your audience.
Well,
I think
absolutely.
That's right.
So which is it? Which is it? Were there FISA warrants or not? Now, if there weren't, why didn't you report that weeks ago? If there are, some of us would like to see them. So we have a real problem right now. The media is turning on the media. We have leaks coming out that are felonies. We have stories about six federal departments and agencies, intelligence and law enforcement, that were investigating something, somebody, by somehow. So what's the answer? That's why we need to get to the bottom of this.
Mark,
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead. You be the host.
Why all the investigations? Is there any evidence? Was there
Mark,
any
this is
evidence,
important.
Scintilla of evidence? Hold on. I just need to finish my sentence. Was there any evidence, a scintilla of evidence at all, that Trump, his campaign advisors,
none.
And his transition
none.
Team were on the take?
None.
Okay. Then why are six federal departments and agencies involved in an investigation
this
and now Clapper says he doesn't know anything?
This is profound for a lot of different ways, because we're talking about Fourth Amendment protections, First Amendment protections, Fifth Amendment protections, Sixth Amendment protections. There's so many. And the question that every American needs
now,
to know.
Now, we're talking about police state tactics.
I understand. And
by an executive
all
branch,
that is true. Because if they can do what they did to Michael Flynn, General Flynn, and that is here whenever they did not, they have every right to go after a Russian ambassador. But the law, the Espionage Act, is clear that if they hear and identify an American on that line, they are not allowed to tape that American and is supposed to follow a process called minimization. Why does this matter? Because this is unreasonable search and seizure. And if they can do it to a presidential candidate, right? Now, either they did it or they didn't. Now, if they didn't do it, then that means the New York Times owes the country an apology. That means every major newspaper and every major network owes the American people an apology, right?
Here's the New York Times, January 20th. Wiretap data used in inquiry of Trump aides. You wrote this earlier. One paragraph, please. The FBI is leading the investigations. Aided by the National Security Agency, the CIA, the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Unit, more. The investigators have accelerated their effort. This is on inauguration morning, front page above the fold. The investigators have accelerated their efforts in recent weeks, but have found
No conclusive evidence of wrongdoing, the official said. One official said, listen to this, intelligence reports based on some of the wiretap communications have been provided to the White House. Now, I didn't write that. You didn't write that. I asked Mr. Clapper, the FBI's leading an investigation. Did you know about that, sir? Aided by the NSA. Did you know about that, sir? And the CIA. Did you know about that, sir? And the Treasury Department. Did you know about that, sir? Did you know that the one official said intelligence reports based on some of the wiretap communications have been provided to the White House? Did you know about that? And Chuck Todd, why didn't you ask him these questions? That's my question. Why are the
Let me ask you a quick last question.
All right, so we're out of time on this. We'll pick it up on the other side. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-61802 text. All right, let's get to some headlines for you. We'll take them off the drudge. Coroner George Michael died of natural causes, liver problems, heart problems. No need for an inquest. North Korea training for strike on U.S. bases pledges actual war. If we went to war with these people, you wouldn't have enough left to stick in a Dixie cup. But anyway, probably one submarine could destroy that country. Have you ever seen the picture of North Korea versus South Korea at night? There's one or two pinpricks of light from North Korea. South Korea is just it's like a Christmas tree. So, you know, if North Korea thinks that they can keep up in a war, they're out of their minds. But then again, they are out of their minds. I mean, who else? Who sends, you know, somebody to kill your half brother in another country, your half brother that has no power and no ambition for power? Pentagon leaves open possibility of more North Korea launch attempts. And the THAAD missile system, defense system, is arriving in the south to shoot down missiles. And Beijing warns the United States over that in South Korea. Now Trump is under pressure over this. Shoot a police dog in Kentucky, you may not go to jail. All right, WikiLeaks. This just popped up on the screen. Drudge Report. WikiLeaks downloads on the CIA. More stories here. Americans forfeiting citizenship at record rates with no tax relief in sight. There was another, speaking of taxes, another story came out and said that there's been more cuts, budget cuts at the IRS, which means the chance of getting audited is going down. Richard Simmons, publicist claiming star not held hostage by housekeeper. Well, that's comforting. Construction worker punch kills man after traffic cone dispute. Don't mess with the traffic workers. Autonomous bus with no backup driver nears California streets. And Ferrari, fastest car, 0 to 60, 2.9 seconds. And I believe 8 seconds to 120 miles an hour, 130. Best country in the world, Switzerland, according to survey. Mom and daughter who hid millions in diapers plead guilty to Medicare fraud. All right. So revolutionary breathalyzer to detect the flu. Google AI, artificial intelligence, can diagnose cancer faster than doctors. Quiet upstate road becomes busy exit from USA. Shock, teen walks out of home holding mother's head. Well, that's pretty disgusting. All right. So I've got this little interview with, find this for you, the Chuckles Schumer saying that Donald Trump is in trouble no matter what.
Obviously, that's you challenging them under oath. Let me ask you this. This morning, the president's press secretary came out and said the following. Reports concerning potentially politically motivated investigations immediately ahead of the 2016 election are very troubling. President Trump is requesting that as part of their investigation into Russian activity, the Congressional Intelligence Committee exercise their oversight authority to determine whether executive branch investigative powers were abused in 2016. Is that a fair ask of this administration?
Well, look, President Obama has flatly denied that he has done this. And either way, Chuck, the president's in trouble. If he falsely spread this kind of misinformation, that is so wrong. It's beneath the dignity of the presidency. It is something that really hurts people's view of government. It's civilization warping, as Ben Sasse, a conservative Republican, called it. And I don't know if any president, Democrat or Republican in the past, has done this. It shows this president doesn't know how to conduct himself. On the other hand, if it's true, it's even worse for the president, because that means that a federal judge, independently elected, has found probable cause that the president or people on his staff have had probable cause to have broken the law or to have interacted with a foreign agent. Now, that's serious stuff. So either way, the president makes it worse with these tweets.
All right. So you know what? It is so aggravating. This stuff is happening out on the front pages of the New York Times. And then when it comes up as an issue, then the everybody acts like it. Nobody's heard of it before. The media in America is in absolute free fall. Let's take a break and we'll come back. Okay, 7:15, and here's a clip I played yesterday, but I want you to hear it again. Loretta Lynch, who met with President Clinton the day before the Justice Department that she ran came out with a finding on Hillary Clinton. She is just a puppet. Listen to how she's trying to foment civil unrest in up to the point of fighting, bleeding, and dying in the streets. This is crazy. She just stepped down a few weeks ago.
I know that this is a time of great fear and uncertainty for so many people. I know it's a time of concern for people who see our rights being assailed, being trampled on, and even being rolled back. I know that this is difficult, but I remind you that this has never been easy. We have always had to work to move this country forward to achieve the great ideals of our founding fathers. And it has been people, individuals, who have banded together, ordinary people, who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals, who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
United States Senate Democrats, democrats.senate.gov. That's who put that out. I think that is, you know, I've said this before, but at the heart of leftism, of socialism, of Marxism, which is what these people are, unfortunately, they just prove it over and over again. At the heart of leftism, socialism, Marxism is the need for revolution, because these people came to the conclusion that without a revolution, most people are happy enough in their lives that they're not going to change their government and give away all their property. All right, here is a little bit on the travel ban that has been renewed. I mean, you can say maybe the president, who knows what is going on in the president's mind, but there's a second travel ban and nobody is even talking about it. That's hilarious. Here we go. Here's a little bit on the new travel ban and what it contains.
Another big topic for the day, CBS News has confirmed the White House will soon roll out its revised travel ban. President Trump is expected to leave Iraq off the list of targeted countries.
The new executive order will keep a 90-day ban on travel to the U.S. from citizens from six Muslim-majority nations, including Iran, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, and Sudan. CBS Radio News White House correspondent Steve Portnoy is now with us on the phone. Steve, what more can you tell us about this revised rollout of the executive order banning travel from these certain countries?
Well, we expect it, Tony, later today there'll be an event here in Washington. The heads of the Departments of Homeland Security and Justice and State will collectively unveil this new executive order that the president has signed. You know, it's been nearly a month since the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court prevented Mr. Trump's first travel ban from going back into effect. It was a three-judge panel that had issues with the original order's impact on green card holders and visa holders. It signaled that the concerns of opponents that it was essentially a dressed-up Muslim ban could, in the end, carry the day in court. This new order is tailored to deal with most of the court's concerns. It will have specific carve-outs for those with green cards, those with valid visas. A White House official tells us it won't go into effect for another 10 more days, March 16th. And that will allow for what is intended to be a more orderly implementation. They say that they do not want to see the kind of chaos that we saw at the end of the president's first week in office, in which this order was hastily signed and then implemented a country. And we saw protests at airports and mass confusion with Customs and Border Protection. The intent is to have this be a much more orderly process. But key points, the current visa holders would be exempt from the new restrictions. Iraq would be removed from the list. There would be still six Muslim-majority countries affected. This is different from the previous order that banned visitors from seven majority Muslim countries, all the ones you see on the screen, plus Iraq. This takes Iraq off the table. The question is why? Well, officials say that, for a couple of things. One is officials were pressured by the Pentagon to not dishonor those Iraqis who helped the United States take on Saddam, and then al-Qaeda, and then ISIS. So Iraq comes off the table. There's also an indication that perhaps the Iraqis have in some way stepped up their ability to provide the American officials with some degree of information as to who these people are who are getting visas to come here.
You mentioned that the intent is to have a much more orderly rollout than the last time around, which I don't think it would take much to improve on the last rollout. But other than clarifying this order, what's being done to ensure a smoother rollout?
It's a really good question, Marie, and hopefully we'll learn more to get an answer to that later today. But what seems to be the case is this looks like it's a ban on new visas being issued. If you have a green card, if you have a visa already, then you shouldn't have a problem coming to the United States. But what seems to be the case going forward is the United States will, for a period of time, no longer issue visas to residents or national citizens of the six countries that are affected. One key change is that Iraq comes off the list. The way of thinking here at the White House remains exactly what it was 2 months ago, which is that the president has this authority under law to decide that certain classes of immigrants are not in the national interest, and that he has this power that you've heard officials here say cannot be questioned, that to decide that there's a reason or a rationale to institute this kind of ban. This will not quiet the legal challenges. In fact, the ACLU is already preparing its army of lawyers to come up with some kind of response to this new travel ban. So this will surely wind up in court, but it's important to understand that the White House's perspective on this is that it's more narrowly tailored to address the concerns expressed so far in the court.
Steve, you mentioned that it is more narrowly tailored to address the legal concerns. However, there's also a political side of this, and it remains true, as far as I know, that these seven countries that are likely to be on the new revised list of temporarily blocked nations, they are not nations that have produced terrorists that have attacked us since 9/11 or including 9/11. So is there a need politically or potentially legally to justify this on national security grounds by pointing to an actual threat?
Another good question, Tony. And the fact that, you know, it's been nearly a month since this ban was prevented from going back into effect. And, you know, if it wasn't such an immediate crisis, why would the administration wait so long? That's a question we've been asking over the last 4 weeks. You know, finally, the administration's ready to move forward with this. Perhaps they'll have a greater rationale for why it is that these particular countries should remain on the banned list. You'll remember when they instituted it in the first place in late January, they argued that these were countries identified by the Obama administration as countries with repeated lax, scrutiny of terrorists or some kind of tie in the past. But you're absolutely right, Tony. There is not exactly a link you can point to between these countries and individual lethal terrorist acts in this country. And the Trump administration would dispute it. They'd say that there are examples of attempts at terrorism, both here in this country and overseas, that were not necessarily successful, but emblematic of at least some kind of evil intent on the part of people who have come from those countries. But the questions remain, and also you will see opponents of this say that it's still based on the animus toward Muslims expressed by the president over the course of the campaign, and the case will proceed, I'm sure, on that basis. The Trump administration is expected to argue that the cases that have been entered into court to this point are going to now be moot. That is, should be disregarded by the courts because this new order supersedes the old one, and therefore a whole new round of legal challenges would have to be entered.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned the Muslim ban. As a candidate, he put out a statement, you can still find it online, calling for a immediate halt to all Muslim immigration in the United States. And how now here we have six countries, Muslim majority. It's a political question. It's a legal question going forward. And in between canvassing both, we have our own Stephen Portnoy, CBS.
Well, I mean, he made a promise. He's trying to fulfill a promise. Now, here's some other promises. Planned Parenthood. Trump stating, if you want to stop doing abortions, I will definitely give you some funds.
Health issue. Mr. Trump has offered to maintain federal funding for Planned Parenthood if the group stops providing abortions. The president claims that polls show most Americans oppose public funding for abortion, but Planned Parenthood officials note that federal law already bars government money from being used for abortions. That money instead covers a wide array of other services for women, including cancer screenings.
All right, so there's another promise that he is fulfilling. Now, here is the replacement for Obamacare bill.
We deliver on President Trump's promise to repeal and begin replacing it with two big principles. One, to restore state control of health care, get it out of Washington, and also restore the free market. It is Obamacare gone because we repeal all those taxes, those mandates, those subsidies.
What we want to do is restore power to the states, put Medicaid on a budget, and get back to where you have a doctor-patient relationship in healthcare and in the individual insurance market.
That includes nearly doubling the size of the health savings accounts and make them more usable. That's good for the out-of-pocket costs. And I guarantee you, House Republicans are going to deliver for the president.
We're going to get this done. We're proud of our product.
The chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committee, they are the two chairmen that will go through this legislation in two different parts. The markup is scheduled for Wednesday morning of this bill as they move forward with it. Democrats, not seeing all the details, they were released tonight. By the way, you can see the whole bill on our website, foxnews.com. Here is the Senate Minority Leader.
The problem is, every draft, every leaked detail or outline or list of principles we've seen is tied together by one common thread. It will raise costs on average Americans and cut back on their benefits. Average Americans, under the Republican plan, will pay more and get less.
And you heard the two chairmen pushing back against that, saying it's just not true. Let's bring in our panel. Julie Pace, White House correspondent for the Associated Press. Molly Hemingway, senior editor at the Federalist and Syndicate.
Well, I don't want to put you through a panel, but it's out there. And let's see if I can find some more details on this for you. But All of this stuff was destined to happen. I mean, if Trump comes in as a new type of a politician, one that is responsive to his constituents, I don't understand why more politicians don't do this, because it's kind of riveting, isn't it? You run on a platform, and then you try to implement the platform. I mean, what's so crazy about that? I've got another clip here. GOP healthcare bill just painted over Obamacare, and this is from Fox Business. In theory, here we go.
Since President Obama signed his namesake law into the books, Obamacare. All right, and ever since then, Republicans have wanted to throw it out. Well, now they have a plan. So did they get it right? Joining us, Michael Cannon, Director of Health Policy and Studies at the Cato Institute. Good to see you, Michael.
Morning.
A lot of Republicans see these tax credits as just another subsidy, an entitlement. What would you use in place of them?
Well, you don't want to subsidize unaffordable care. You want to do things that make health care more affordable. And the one thing that does that is when you give consumers the money and an incentive to shop around for lower prices. When you do that, an experiment in California drove down prices for hip and knee replacements at high-priced hospitals by 37%, an average $16,000 reduction. So what we need to do is take the money that employers and government are spending on the behalf of patients, give that money to the consumer, let them choose their health insurance.
All right, so the problem here, this guy seems like he has a hard time talking. Let's just say the problem that they have exposed in this is that if you're getting rid of Obamacare and then you're replacing Obamacare with tax credits, that you're kind of kicking the can down the road seems to be the argument. So I'll have to look for some article that has more of the exact details. Well, here is another, looks like another clip that might have a little bit more. Let me listen to this on the break. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180 to text. Today is the 7th of March, and we'll be right back.
527-1111.
I'm looking to see what else I had for you guys, and let's see here. Well, I had this, here's this one thing here. This guy, Michael Hayden, is saying that Trump is, Trump's media, let's, whatever they want to call it, the alt-right, whatever, which I guess we're a part of in talk radio, is part of a non-fact-based world. A statement that was echoed by Jake Tapper, that Trump is living in a world detached from reality. You know, one of the things that you'll notice about leftism is not a, far leftism is not a naturally intellectually occurring movement. They take positions that are oftentimes completely illogical, totally nonsensical. For example, keeping the border on the South open, importing as many illegal people as possible, shipping them around the country, getting them established, a place to live, you know, food to eat, and putting them on welfare if necessary, is somehow meant to bolster America. Now, how that would be, you know, an upgrade over having a secure border, whatever your political affiliation, it's not clear. But because it's a position that is staked out by the left, you have to understand, leftism is based on the idea of a colony, of a beehive, of an ant colony. All of these animals, or I should say insects, are they're in group, they're in lockstep, they're working on the same goal. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what the positions are. They go and stake this area out, and they also communicate between one another. And there was something that happened, this may be going on, this is 5 or 10 years ago. There's a guy who now is at Vox. He's the guy that started Vox, and I can't remember his name, but he put out a journo list. I think he sent out a daily email, and all of these leftist journalists were on this email batch, and he would put out these ideas and talking points and everything that would be taken and put into the broadcasts and the essays, in the reporting and the articles, and it would give this sense of something that the left doesn't naturally have, which is the sense of a naturally occurring event that is born out of the minds of the most brilliant members of society. Now, it's totally false, but it does kind of put a, you know, if you hear the same phrase from four different media sources on one story, it gives this false impression of this, you know, this enlightenment, or this, you know, the real people see things this way. And in fact, it's just this kind of debased and, not to be redundant, but it's this kind of crazy leftism that comes out and is continually trying to take over. All right, let me give you a few more headlines here. House leaders brace for task ahead selling Obamacare light, which is disappointing to see. IHOP giving away free pancakes for charity on Tuesday. What do pancakes cost? A penny a piece, you know? White House rejects Comey's assertion that wiretapping claim is false. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the – and the guy's name is Ezra Klein. I just remembered it. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom. Good morning. Hope you're well. What's going on?
I just heard on the news in the break there that New Mexico is planning on taxing us for everything we buy on Amazon now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's New Mexico. I think it's Amazon is cooperating with taxation, which has not been true in the past.
Yeah, that really stinks because I really enjoy that little something that I get from Amazon without having to pay extra taxes on it.
I hear you, man. Maybe you should move to a tax-free zone.
Yeah, I'll move to Mexico.
Okay. Hey, anything else, Tom?
No, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. No free ride goes unpunished. For anything else, because the reason I'm looking for more stuff here is that I want to go back to the wiretapping because I have a few more things. All right. Wiki downloads on CIA. They're asking now, new information, is there another Snowden out there? Now, I wanted to pass on something from the weather frontier. The snow in the mountains over in California is so deep, they can't even measure it in a lot of places. Isn't that interesting? Their equipment that they have doesn't go, I don't know how sophisticated it is. I think somebody said that they put down this thing, they got on top of the snow and put down their rod 16 feet and it didn't hit bottom. So it could be that, but I mean, we're talking like 20 feet of snow, et cetera. All right. Here is Jake the Snapper Tapper giving his. So here's my problem. What did Jake Tapper used to be? A lot of these people are former media, or not media, but they're former political hacks that get into reporting. We have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Ralph Kelly.
Morning, Ralph. Hope you're well. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Kelly, on this Obamacare, we should get down to the root of the problem.
What's the root?
Well, Kelly, I know an individual that worked 17 years at the building department for Memorial and quit. Another individual that worked for the building department Memorial 4.5 years and quit because it was impossible to collect the debts that were being inquired by the illegals. No such name, no such address. Therefore, the hospital had to up the rates on everything. The insurance followed in turn. And 12 or 13 years ago, it came out on the news that Memorial was closing, owed hundreds of millions of dollars in debt and couldn't pay them off. So they were closing it, and you're going to have to go to El Paso. They're closing the hospital Memorial because of that.
They're closing?
They worked about 13 years ago. That's when they built the Mountain View.
All right.
Okay. I've been to the hospital so many times, it's pitiful, both of them. And all you see at a Memorial are illegals. I mean, standing room only. Mountain View, none. The problem is these people are coming from across the border because now they have a 7-8 hour waiting period in El Paso. They just drive over here.
Okay, all right.
They get taken care of.
Yeah, all right.
That is a problem.
Make your point. So what's your point? What's your conclusion?
Oh, God, Kelly, do I always... Does it always go plumb over your head?
No, I'm trying to get some more information.
My point is that the root of the problem, then I just explained to you.
All right, okay, thank you.
Thank
you for the call. All right, folks, the point is, let's get the, his point is to, I'm sorry, I'm distracted by a couple more clips. Sometimes people call up and they make a point and the point is like a 3 minute, they're making it in 3 minutes and it could be 30 seconds. I don't have a beef with anybody, but the one thing that people have complained to me about the most on the show by far without any comparison to anything else is callers that I let them go on too long. So I'm trying to get a little more disciplined here. So Ralph's point is that it's the illegals that are destroying the system. Is that true? I don't know. All right. So let's get into, here's former Attorney General Michael Mukasey with Martha, ABC's Martha Raddatz, on there was surveillance of the Trump Tower. So this, you know, people are out there saying no evidence. Jake Tapper. I just looked up this guy. And I don't know, man. This guy seems pretty far to the left. But anyway. First, I'm going to play a little Tapper.
Get this latest conspiracy theory from. As we've reported, White House officials say that the president's sources were various conservative outlets, most prominently perhaps radio host Mark Levin, who seems to take three basic chunks of information and combine them into one conspiracy theory of what he calls a silent coup going on by the intelligence community and former Obama administration officials. Here are the three chunks. One, leaks from the intelligence community calling out Trump administration officials for giving out inaccurate information about their contacts with the Russians and other stories. Two, news reports that the FBI is investigating possible contacts between Trump.
I can't even listen to this. All right. Here's one place it came from, Mr. Jake Tapper, who says that. So the left goes off themes, right? Because they don't really have the intellectual wherewithal to develop ideas. They come up with some theme, some symbol. So the theme for Trump is he is a greedy businessman, a megalomaniac. He's insane. Some of them say his brain was affected by syphilis, which is supposedly what happened to Nietzsche. But, all right, so where did this story come from? So, you know, he's a Russian agent, right? Intercepted Russian communication, part of inquiry into Trump associates. What wacko far-right journal put this out? It was the New York Times, January 19th, 2017. And it was written by 1, 2, 3, 4 different writers. So you see that as a title, Intercepted Russian Communication, Part of Inquiry into Trump Associates. How did they intercept it, right? Was it on the back of a carrier pigeon that collapsed on its way to a Trump Tower? All right, so here is, I'm just going to put some more of these pieces together for you. Mark Hemingway, something fishy happened to the final during the final week of the Obama administration. Trump won, Obama was shocked, and he decided to let loose the demons, the devils at the White House in the government to punish Trump and make it impossible for him to wipe out Obama's agenda, which is what he promised to do during the campaign. Here goes this. Second here.
Administration. The Obama White House quietly changed the line of succession of the Justice Department so that an Obama-friendly prosecutor would be put in charge should Jeff Sessions have to recuse himself. Now, obviously, last week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions did recuse himself from certain investigations involving the Trump campaign. Fortunately, a few weeks before that, the Trump White House caught on to what the Obama administration had done and changed the line of succession back such that a respected career Justice Department official will be handling those investigations. However, the prospect of an Obama crony having the power to appoint a special prosecutor to launch a politically charged inquest directed at the White House raises a troubling question. Did the Obama White House try and plant a booby trap to ensnare the Trump White House? In the absence of another explanation, that's a lot what it looks like.
All right, there's that. And now here is from Mike Mukasey. There was an investigation in Trump Tower.
He was former U.S. Attorney General under President George W. Bush. Federal wiretap laws and the FISA courts inside and out from his time fighting terrorist threats. But now we have the president himself saying he was the target of surveillance ordered up by his predecessor. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Mukasey. It's good to see you.
Good to be here.
Your reaction to the tweets and the explanation you just heard from the White House?
Well, I don't do tweets.
You heard about him.
Yeah, I hear about him, but I don't do tweets, and for good reason. It's not the ideal medium in which to get an idea across. This is the difference between being correct and being right. I think the president was not correct, certainly, in saying that President Obama ordered a tap on a server in Trump Tower. However, I think he's right in that there was surveillance and that it was conducted at the behest of the attorney of the Justice Department through the FISA court.
And what do you base that on?
I base that on news reports that you mentioned in the last spot. I also base it on a kind of inadvertent blurting out by Adam Schiff that his committee wants to talk to the counterintelligence agents at the FBI who were involved in this. Now, what that means is that this is part not of a criminal investigation, but of an intelligence gathering investigation. The FBI has got two functions. They investigate crimes and they gather intelligence. They started gathering intelligence in 08 based on guidelines that we put in place. They apparently tried to get a wiretap based on their criminal investigation function in June. That was turned down. They then tried to get and got an order permitting them to conduct electronic surveillance in October. This is October of 2016. So that's when.
And again, you're basing this on news reports as well.
And on Adam Schiff.
And on Adam Schiff. Right. If a wiretap did exist, it would have to have been approved by a FISA court based on real evidence. So if there was a wiretap, does it mean things going on between the Trump administration and the Russians?
It means there was some basis to believe that somebody in Trump Tower may have been acting as an agent of the Russians for whatever purpose, not necessarily the election, but for some purpose. And the FBI keeps track of people who act as agents of foreign governments. They keep track of people who act as agents of the Chinese, the Russians, the Israelis, everybody.
Some of the evidence may have been gleaned from classified means. Is there any way to verify these claims in the press or Trump's claims so the American people can really understand what's going on here?
The only way to verify whether there was electronic surveillance is to disclose the warrant and to disclose the fruits of it. And that should not be done even in a political storm as hot as this one.
All right. So this is what I think. If they had found anything, you'd already know about it. It was a fishing expedition. I don't believe there was any evidence that anybody was an agent of Russia. And further, the FISA court is a rubber stamp court. We'll be right back. 523-1450. You know, CNN has got this bizarre cam that it's running and photographing things through the Oval Office window. Isn't that weird? I mean, if anybody did it, I guess it would be CNN. Let's listen to this.
CNN, that the president was frustrated and angry that Attorney General Jeff Sessions was forced to recuse himself from any investigation into the alleged Russian interference into the presidential election. In fact, Trump felt the recusal was hasty and overkill. That led to a fiery meeting in the Oval Office where there were, quote, a lot of expletives. In fact, we have video from outside the Oval Office, which shows that animated conversation with Trump and his top aides. In fact, you can see Steve Bannon, Jared Kushner, Reince Priebus, Sean Spicer, and Ivanka Trump in a discussion that appears to get heated at times. Now, we don't know exactly what was being discussed at this particular moment, but we're told the president accused his staff of fumbling the situation with Sessions. And after that angry White House meeting, the president left for Florida, and it was from his Mar-a-Lago estate on Saturday morning that Trump tweeted out that explosive accusation that President Obama ordered the wiretapping of his phone and Trump Tower during the campaign. Now that...
Well, that might have been a countershot, but it seems to have worked, number one. Number two, there is truth, there is evidence to suggest it's out there. It's already out there. It's in the New York Times. Too late. New York Times already reported that there was wiretapping on someone associated with Trump. There's FISA requests that are already out there. Former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, says that we know that there was two there were two requests for a wiretap, one of which was denied and the second of which appears to have been granted. Now you've got CNN peering through. If that's absolutely insane. I mean, it would be one thing if CNN did that. I mean, it was, you could see what people were saying on their lips. If they got a lip reader, a mouth reader, to go in and yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy that you can actually see through the White House window and that CNN would set up the, I mean, that CNN, what do you expect? All right. So there have been a lot of things going on. There's an attack against, there was an attack against Trump. Trump fights back. Now here's a little bit from Chris Wallace. I hope that it has this part in here. Where's the evidence of collusion between Trump's camp and Russia? And this is, of course, from Fox.
Developments in the Trump-Russia story, with the president accusing former President Obama of tapping his phones in Trump Tower before the election. Joining us now, Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware. And Senator, I want to begin where I began with Senator Cotton. Your reaction to President Trump's allegations that his phones were tapped by President Obama?
Well, Chris, these are remarkable allegations. I think another attempt by President Trump to change the subject. But this deserves full investigation. And the larger point, I think, I will agree with Senator Cotton on, is that it's in the best interest of our country for us to move forward promptly and get to the bottom of all of this. I believe that no president should ever directly order an intercept or a wiretap on an American citizen. That's not what our system provides. You have to go in front of a judge and get a warrant in order to conduct a wiretap. So one of two things has happened here. Either President Trump has inappropriately released classified information and was himself the subject of a court-ordered wiretap, or, and I think this is a very remote possibility, there was some inappropriate actions by the previous administration. In either case, it doesn't help our country for this to all be worked out on Twitter. It ought to be worked out in a full, fair, prompt, and thorough investigation, whether by the Senate Intelligence Committee, if they can get to the bottom of this, or by a special prosecutor.
Well, there is another possibility, too, which is that it's just not true, isn't there?
That's right. Of course. Yes, it's quite possible. It's just not true. And the president offered no evidence or backing for his outlandish claims.
Why would you suggest in that clip that I just played for Senator Cotton that there are FBI transcripts that show, and I want to get your words, provide very critical insights into collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians?
What I was trying to make clear, Chris, and I appreciate a chance to restate this, is that I don't have and I don't know of any conclusive proof one way or the other about whether there was collusion between senior levels of the Trump campaign and Russian officials. But I believe that our intelligence community, which is the most sophisticated in the world, has intercepts, has raw intelligence, and it's important that the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is conducting an investigation, be given access to those intercepts, to transcripts of those intercepts, so that they can get to the bottom of this. The American people, Chris, want us to move forward. They want us to work together in Washington, and it's important for us to remember that the Russians are our adversaries, Republicans and Democrats. We have different political.
So then he goes on and says, where's the evidence? The guy doesn't have any evidence. This is late breaking. I'm looking at the texts. Some people are sending texts that are like five texts long, one message. So I'm going to read these tomorrow. I'll read them tonight and then come in and reread them tomorrow. WikiLeaks CIA stole Russian malware, used it to misdirect attribution of cyber attacks. That is stunning. WikiLeaks claims M15 and CIA targeted iPhones, Microsoft, and turned Samsung TV into microphones and global hacking program. WikiLeaks publishes huge trove of CIA spying documents in Vault 7 release, but CIA stole Russian malware, uses it to misdirect attribution of cyber attacks. Stunning. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Ciao. We'll be right back.